Let us now listen to one of my favorite psalms, and maybe one of your favorite psalms too. It's taken from Psalm number 8. Psalm number 8, I guess we don't have it up in the screen here, but you might turn in your pew Bibles if you would to follow me. I'm sure you've heard this psalm many times. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, Lord, and the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you would care for him, and yet you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. You crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all the flocks and the birds and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and all that swim the paths of the seas. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. Lord, help us today to hear your word and let it ring in our hearts. What a wonderful God, what a wonderful God you are. Well, what is tomorrow? Nobody knows. Labor Day. What does Labor Day mean? What do we have Labor Day? Just for a time to take off someplace with the family? What? Why do you think that once a year our government has set apart one day, Labor Day? Why do you think? Well, Daniel Webster, I looked in the dictionary to see what he had to say. And he said to honor physical or mental work with fatigue and also of kind. And I'd also like to add to that spiritual, because man is more than just a physical being or a mental being. He's a spiritual being. And I'd like for us to think today very seriously, who are we? What is man? The Godful is mindful of him. I want to leave with you a word that I don't often use, but I want to have three M's about this. So hopefully you might remember three M's. The first word is mote. How many have ever heard of the word mote? Oh, a couple of you. Well, that's good. It's a good word. It means a little speck. And the scripture talks about the vastness of creation. You know, I was astounded when I began to look at what this was all about. We don't realize what a fantastic creator we have because we don't know much science. Some of you may have been science majors, and gradually we're learning more and more and more about this. But do you realize that light can travel and does travel 186,000 miles a second? And look, this one, and in a year, 1 trillion miles. How many of you know how much 1 trillion miles is? Just think of the vastness of God's creation, this God we're talking about. Do you realize also about galaxies? There is 100 billion galaxies, each with 100 billion stars. How many of you knew that? Don't see any hands going up. that in all of the galaxies, there is as many planets as stars, 100 billion trillion. Isn't that fantastic? And we still have a lot more to learn. Scientists have a lot more to learn about creation. But that is our creator. You know, how can anybody, of course, I'm not a scientist, but how can anybody hear information like this and not believe in a creator? It just astounds me. That to me is impossible. When you really begin to find out the facts about this universe and say, well, it was just happens. Well, anyway, God, in the second part of it, God created man a little lower than the heavenly beings. You know, maybe as we get older, we might talk about these kinds of things, but I think about that seed in the womb of a woman, which becomes a total physical being in 9 months. That, to me, is astounding. God very specially created you and me for a purpose. And just to think about what that means. I don't think many women, as they go through this process, maybe think too much about the completeness of what that little one is when they come out of the womb. But, my gosh, what a marvelous creator. We have been created a little lower than the heavenly beings, but we're very special. We are a marvel. We're not only a speck in this vast universe. We are a marvel. The human body and mind and spirit is a marvel. I think of the brain. We haven't even begun to understand all of the intricacies of the human brain. How fantastically God put the human brain of humankind together. It's just unbelievable. I think of the heart. And this seems, when I first heard it, seemed unbelievable to me. But you know, from the heart which pumps the blood throughout the whole body, think of all those little intricate tributaries and veins and so on. I heard that there are enough of those all together to go all the way around the world. Have you ever thought about how marvelously God put you and me together? Unbelievable. And what about our nervous system? Oh, my. Well, you know, we only have a short time today, and I'm not going to give you 2 hours, but sit back. I'll be through in time, so don't get too excited. So man is a mote. He's a little speck. But he is a marvel in light of all of God's creation. And he was called to take care of the creation that God had created. And so I want to say to you the last thing. Man is a masterpiece. Man is a masterpiece. It says in the scripture he was created to rule over all the works of God's hands. Think of it. God chose you and me to be involved in making the right decisions for the creative things we have around us, including ourselves. You know, and God has bestowed talents. Do you realize that? God has bestowed certain talents in your body. I was sitting in a doctor's office one time, and I said, "Doctor, I don't know you, but I know who knows you, God." And you know, doctor, God gave you those talents that you have, and God provided means whereby those talents could be learned in medical schools and so on, so that he is using you. And you know, doctor, I see God right behind you with his hand, using your hands to perform surgery. I don't think too many doctors think about that, but think of what a marvelous, I've been pastoring for 64 years. I'm no kid, and I've seen a lot of changes take place in the medical field. It's unbelievable. Just 20 years ago, I had open heart surgery, quadruple bypass. I shouldn't even be alive today if there hadn't been for God inspiring and giving information to men to perform that surgery. And so I may not look very much alive, even though that was 20 years ago, but I am. But I would be dead a long time ago. Most of you in this room wouldn't be living as long as you are. In 1900, the average age of death was 49. What do you think it is now? Probably about 75, I don't know. But think of the tremendous changes. When I was pastoring, it was in a big church in Yakima, First Presbyterian Church, we had several wonderful surgeons. And people in the congregation who had been to the hospital would come to me and say, "Pastor, you wouldn't believe what happened. Dr. So-and-so came and laid his hands upon me and prayed that God would use his mind and use all the information that he had and his love to help me get well." Pastor, you can't imagine what a blessing that was to me. We don't realize, people, how God has given talents to all kinds of people that are helping us to be alive and to be able to do things that otherwise we wouldn't be able to do. I think of the medical field. I think of those that are in psychiatry, those that are able to help people through their mental struggles. I think that that is so very important. Well, let me ask you a question. How many of you would like that no automobiles had ever been invented? Have you realized the fantastic changes that has taken place in the world because God inspired, I believe, people to invent the automobile? Where would we be today with the automobile? Would you like to walk to work? We depend on automobiles tremendously, and I live in a retirement home, and there some of the people don't have their automobiles, but they have to rely upon somebody else's automobiles to get to their doctors and get downtown to all the different things they have to do, to go shopping, all the different things. Automobiles. How would you like to be without automobiles today? Have you ever thought about saying, "God, I thank you for those that invented the automobile"? You know, that's a part of our faith. And how many of us have been really thinking about this? We might say, "Oh, I don't see how this is very important." It's important to God because he speaks that he uses human beings to accomplish his purpose. I think about airplanes. I've had the privilege of traveling over most of the world, but I didn't do it by walking. I've had an opportunity to be in many, many different countries because of the airplanes. How about you? Have you ever thought about what it would be like to be without that? What about trains and so on? Well, I have a deep concern about not only the physical things, but I think of the spiritual effect that other people have. We prayed about Hurricane. You know, God has moved the hearts of so many people all around the world. Churches today praying for them. How did this happen? It's happened because God inspired the president to ask all the churches to pray for that hurricane. What a difference that makes. And what about teaching? Some of you have been school teachers. Do you realize that God gave you the talents to do that? I was planning to be a school teacher, but I found out that I didn't have the talents to do it, and so I became a pastor instead. But some of you have the
special privilege of being a school teacher. Have you ever realized what an impact that you can have on these children, not only mentally, but spiritually? As I look back over the several congregations I served, one of the persons that comes to my mind particularly was a gal in a church that I served, which had a small community, only about 200 in the high school. And when her husband died, she decided that she was going to go back to teaching. Now, she was about 65 or 70 years old. And you know what? She gave special attention to those children. And after school, some of those children would come to her and begin to pour out their hearts about some of the problems they were facing. As a result, most of those kids never went to any church. But every Wednesday night in her home, she had about 20 high school kids. God was using that ability that she had, not only to teach them ideas, but teach them that God cared about them. And friends, we have an awful lot of children today that need to know that God cares about them. I'm really concerned about family, the split of the home, and how the parents are not able maybe to give the love and the care to the children that they need. But this woman was doing a great thing. I think another woman in my congregation, I went to Fresno, California, in the suburbs of Fresno, and it was my custom before people joined the church to teach 10 classes on the basic beliefs of the church. And this woman that lived in that community, her name was Millie Alexander. She was a crippled woman, not very well. But you know, she was loved by all the people in that community. And she said, "Pastor, you've been teaching that class in the church. I want to have you teach it in my home." And so we did. She had called up people that were strong atheists or whatever might be, as well as church members, and invite them to come. You know that in 10 years, she had 400 people come into her home. We'd have about 20 people gathered around a circle, and I'd be teaching them, and then she'd serve them dessert, always, special dessert in a warm, comfortable home, and then we'd have a little class afterwards. Can you imagine 400 people being affected by a crippled woman like that? And she had a Bible class in her home until the Tuesday before she died on Friday. Well, how'd that happen? God was the one that gave her that special. You don't know. We don't all have that kind of a special talent. God gave that spell. Every one of us have special talents. And God wants us to use those talents to help other people. That is so crucial. That is so, so important. And so, what is man? Can you repeat after me these words? And I hope you'll take a moment with you. And I hope that tomorrow you'll think of Labor Day more than just a get with the family for dinner. I hope that you take time when you get up in the morning and say, "Thank you, God, you great creator, for giving so many talents to people. And as I look back, God, upon my life, I've seen how you've used so many different people to affect my life." Okay, repeat after me these words. Man is a mote. Gee, I'm losing my hearing, I guess. All right, let's try once again. Man is what? Man. All right. Man is also what? A marvel. Say it. And man is also a masterpiece. Say it. Man is a masterpiece. You want to find out what man is? Take another look at Psalm number 8. It'll thrill you to find out how significant humankind are. And even in spite of all of our crazy things that we may have done, God still uses us. But the more we get closer to him, the way that he blesses other people's lives. And so I pray that I haven't heard many sermons about Labor Day. I don't know if you have or not. But that's what Labor Day is to a Christian. I don't know who established Labor Day in our United States. I don't know what the purpose was. But it gives opportunity for us, I believe, to think about what a wonderful God we have. When I chose that solo I sang because God is such a wonderful God. Don't ever get bored in life. Begin to think about how God has touched your lives. It hasn't always been an easy life. I know that all of us have gone through challenges. But without the challenges of life, we would never grow. If life was just all easy and just do whatever we want to do, we'd be living a boring life. But God has been with us to bring us through because man is not only a boat, he is a marvel. You're a marvel. You're a masterpiece. God created you for that purpose. And so as we come to the communion table today, I'd like to remind you of the setting. When did the Lord give this to the disciples? You want to remember, he'd been with them for 3 years. He had done all kinds of marvelous things of reaching out in love and revealing what man was really meant to be, not to live for yourself and your own selfish things, but to reach out to bring healing to people, to feed the hungry, to bring a changed life like a woman caught in adultery. And so these disciples had seen all that he had done. And on the night before he was crucified, he gathered them around him to prepare them for what lay ahead. And that night, he took up the bread. Bread was a very central part of the diet for the Jews. He broke it. I think I still can. He broke it and said, "This is my body. This is going to be what's going to happen tomorrow. This is my body. It's broken for you." As we take communion each time, we should remember how deeply God loves us. He allowed himself to be crucified on a cross. He said, "I am the bread of life. He who believes me shall not perish." And so on that night, he broke the bread, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Eat. This is my body, broken for you." And so we are one body in Jesus Christ. And so let us wait till all have been served the bread, and then let us eat of it together. Thank you.